you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, and hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. That's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. And anytime I see something in Scripture that says this would please God, wow, there's a couple things that come to mind. We can actually bring pleasure, or God can be pleased by something we do. Well, amen. I want to be about that. And the fact that God's engaged, he's interested, he's involved, and he's watching us. He's watching over us is maybe a better way to say it. And he can be pleased by the things we do, the actions we take, the way we represent Jesus, how we model as his ambassadors into this hurting world. And so if there's something we can do to please God, I'm about that. How about you, Rob?
Amen.
Thank you for joining me for today, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, when we oftentimes feature the Prime Life Times. We used to always call Wednesday Prime Life Times in Review, and so I'm trying to get back into the habit, and I think next week we're going to have Nick Brazowski. He's our new editor-in-chief, and I've had him on Testimony Tuesday before and share some of the ways God has been at work in his life, in his church, Anchor Church, and he's also pastoring at Arrowsmith Christian Church in Arrowsmith, and he's a busy beaver working for the Lord. And I was thinking, Rob, beforehand, thank you for getting here early, we highlighted about 7 or 8 different people. So there's a lot of you that your ears are ringing, including you as a listener, that we just thank God that you're tuned in, that you're supportive, that you pray for the ministry, that you're involved and engaged. And the fact that you're tuned in today lends me to believe that God is working in your life. He wants to say and share something with you. He wants to work in and through you today. He values you. He loves you. And so you might be a senior saint just reveling into listening to Christian radio and appreciating the music, the devotional thoughts, the Bible teaching. There might be others of you just beginning your faith journey, so you're hungering to learn what the Bible has to say, or looking for a word from God or confirmation in a direction you're taking. And there might be some of you that just happen to scan the dial and you're like, Christian radio, I've never heard this. Oh, some of these concepts are new. And what's this about a God who loves me? I don't even know if I believe God exists. Some of you that are maybe a little hostile to Christianity because of hurt or background baggage or maybe mistrust or something didn't go right or expectations where God let you down so you don't even believe he exists or cares. So there's something for everyone. And having Rob Seidenberg in the studio, who's our copy editor, he reviews the Prime Life Times each and every month with our great, fantastic team. He submits many different content and articles and stories and pithy comments and wordsmith workshops, rural memories. A lot of the articles or stories that are from staff come from him or originated in his brain and his mind, and he has a neat and fantastic way of communicating it. He has lots of different trivia things. And this edition is filled with a number of his stories, including the one that led me to open up with Hebrews 13:16, because we're going to talk about generosity, ways of coming to people's rescue, being used of God in unique ways, and shortwave radio, which we're both about, radio and the unique way God can use radio waves to minister to people. But Rob, because we were talking about so many different people, about Nick Brazowski and the great job he's doing, this is his first edition. It arrived yesterday, so the February edition has Nick's imprint on it. He's been working with our staff and our team and our volunteers to put together this publication. And so I'm going to have Nick next week, but we were talking about him. And the book that a friend of yours, Rob, a person that listened to the program and called you up, Dave Fitch from Springfield, who I've been talking to about a number of things and him volunteering with the radio ministry, even fulfilling a role, your ears might have been ringing, because as I was interviewing him and talking with him and showing him around the ministry, he said, oh, by the way, I have a book that's coming out. You might know of Rob Seidenberg, right? I go, Rob, Of course, he's a great friend. He's on many times. I've interviewed him over the years. I said he helps out with the Prime Life Times. Well, he's editing my book, and he's working with me. So I said, oh, I'll have both of you on in the future. So anyways, we're talking about Dave.
He's a good man.
And then Roger Weisgarvey, he's on the front page of the February edition. So in the next few days, as our volunteers get the publication all out, people will see that front page, and that's a great story. You were saying it's one of Roger's best stories, and we appreciate Roger and the way he serves the Prime Life Times and the singing men of GNN. He's our chaplain. I want to cover a lot of things, and then Karen Harrison, our office manager extraordinaire, we're talking about her health and Roger's health and your health. How long ago was it since you had the open heart surgery and some corrective measures being taken, and we were praying you up, not knowing the outcome, because when they open you up, and this was one of those old-fashioned heart surgeries.
Yeah, so it will be 2 years in March.
Years, wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, God, that your health is at the point where you're just about doing everything, a little older, a little wiser. Like you, like Karen, that has gone through so much health issues, seemingly has recovered really, really well. And Roger is doing all the things he's doing, even after these many years of having Guillain-Barré syndrome. So Roger and Karen and obviously you, Rob, and Dave and Nick. And who was that guy that called right before this broadcast
that was saying, you're a joint heir in Christ with him.
He was all fired up.
Yeah, that's Randy Bogut from my home county, Northwestern Illinois, from Carroll County.
Yeah, well, shout out for him. He seemed to be a fired up follower of Jesus.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, Rural Memories, we're going to probably have you read a couple stories today, but this was titled Shortwave Radio and Generous Friends.
Yeah, so this is part of my history, of course. After our farmhouse burned, we needed a place to live. Good friend and neighbor Bob Schubert and wife Mamie invited us to their home. The departure of grown children had left several bedrooms vacant. We spent our first night there. Of course, the adults understood that this wasn't a long-term solution. We couldn't just move in with neighbors. But another neighbor and friend, Alan Earhart, who farmed about 2 miles away, had an empty tenant house. Alan was away at a business meeting in Bloomington, Illinois, where his secretary said he couldn't be reached. Dad's youngest brother, George, actually worked in the very building where the Bloomington meeting was. So Dad called him. George said, I saw Alan half an hour ago. He's right down the hall, and his meeting is breaking for lunch. I'll talk to him right away. Alan responded with these words, George, please tell your brother and his family to move right into our tenant house. It's all ready. For the year we lived there, we paid only the power bill. The neighbor wouldn't hear of our paying rent. What a blessing to have generous, helpful, gracious neighbors. My wife says I have a big heart. Well, I learned to have a big heart from those I grew up with, lived around, and worked with. A friend in need is
along with Jesus at work in your heart.
Amen. A friend in need is a friend indeed, or as the Bible helpfully and accurately puts it, he who wants to have friends must show himself friendly.
Say that again. Listening friends, be in tune to these words, because I think there's points of application for all of us, even this day, maybe even this hour, maybe even right now. But read that sentence again.
He who wants to have friends must show himself friendly. I learned generosity from my parents, who, though far from wealthy, had an open home and open hands to those in need. An early memory I treasure is going around with Dad just before Thanksgiving Day, giving poorer people big boxes of food, mostly from our freezer. My grandma, mothers, and sisters, my brother and I too, always chipped in with some fresh baked goods. It eventually became impossible to give away meat from one's own freezer, both for health code reasons and because suddenly one year, people started telling Dad they didn't eat ground beef and didn't he have any steak.
Oh, jeez.
We didn't live that high on the hog either. We were giving, not out of wealth, but out of our carefully husbanded resources raised there on the farm. Shortly after we moved into the tenant house, someone gave me an old shortwave radio. It didn't work well, so we took it to town and started testing the vacuum tubes one by one at the local radio shop. We located a defective tube. the light lit up yellow, meaning the tube might still work a bit.
Now, you may have to explain that for some of our younger listeners.
Yeah, before transistors in the 50s, we had vacuum tubes, and every one was unique. And so a radio might have 20 vacuum tubes. And there was a giant panel that these radio repair people had. And so you looked at the number on the tube, and you went over to that socket, plugged it in, turned it slightly so it locked in, and then pushed a button, and a light came on. Green was good, red was bad, and yellow meant it might work for a while.
And somebody will say, well, what's a tube? Well, these are little glass with
little
gizmos.
Yeah, it's like a little glass bulb. Yeah, and it lit up some interesting color.
And I have a bunch of those. A person that passed away many years ago, an engineer, had boxes of all these things. So I have all sorts of tubes and gizmos old-fashioned things.
Sure,
that someday I want to give them away to somebody.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Dad said to just replace it for the princely sum of $1.30.
Mm.
We did. Back in the tenant house, we strung a long antenna wire outside. Because we thought the lit-up vacuum tubes looked so cool, we left the top off. That radio was our gateway to the world. I don't remember my sisters having much interest in it, but my brother and I listened far into the night to transmissions from around the world, the vacuum tubes giving off an eerie light.
You know, I should pause here. I think I've had four different people from around Finland that part of the world that can pick up our 1370 AM, and they string these 100-foot-long antennas or gizmos, and so they write in and want verification. So I think I've had four or six or eight over the last few years.
Mark, you might consider getting cards printed up, because what shortwave and other radio enthusiasts do is they collect these cards and they put them up on their wall.
Yeah, yeah. They all want verification.
Yeah.
And then they'll send me the audio and I can hear whether it's my voice or some program that we're airing. But this is literally thousands of miles away, halfway around the world,
and
they pick it up. Yep, yep.
Off the atmosphere.
So, that's kind of fun. So there's a couple that want me to send a verification letter and so forth that they did, in fact, hear the broadcast
from. When I was a boy, we rode off to radio stations and got a little card back.
And
you had to tell what program it was, what time it was, what you were listening to. Some 10 years later, after completing my first four-year Army hitch, I listened on that same radio to Fidel Castro giving a speech. I listened for 4 hours, then fell asleep. When I awoke the following morning, Castro was still speaking. That man could talk. If you have a tech-savvy youngster in your circle of family or friends, you could do worse than to donate a decent shortwave radio to stimulate interest in the wider world, foreign languages, and much besides. I've given away several, and I've never regretted doing so.
Mm.
Copyright Scene Circle, Rob Siedenberg.
Rob grew up in the hills of northwestern Illinois. You know what? I had a radio that had, it was like a band radio, and it had a map of the world and different frequencies. And I used to listen to that all the time and try to tune in other countries. Growing up. And that was right next to my bedside.
Yeah.
But nowadays, most people 30 and under never had a radio near their bed.
Isn't that interesting? Or don't even have a radio in the house.
Yeah, they listen other ways or podcasts or...
It's a good thing we have cars with radios in them.
Right. So, well, thank you. That's Rural Memories. That's from the January edition. Even though the February edition is now being delivered and is out, this being the last day in January 2024, I wanted to get Rob in here, and we have another story or two. And I love this article. It's actually your Wordsmith Workshop series, but I guess it couldn't fit in with the banner called The Four C's of Effective Writing.
Somebody just renamed it. It's okay. We have limited control, we authors, over what our writing is called.
But I wanted to point out, when we talked about being savvy with radios and ham radios or shortwave radios, Howard Fox, I need to do a little shout out for him. On Monday, he and I, for a number of hours, were working on our satellite dish and our satellite feed and all the complexities of getting the Moody feed live and over the air. And because of the new 5G, we're having all this interference in Springfield, and it was just wiping out. When we'd go Moody live, it would overwhelm our LMB, our component on the satellite dish, and we'd go silent or dead. And so then we would have to get the frequency and the programming through the internet, and then you have internet issues and buffering. And anyways, so for a few weeks, we've been dealing with this on the air, off the air, and issues. Well, on Monday, it finally came in, this new 5G. It's called the Blue Filter that filters out everything but this very narrow part of the band.
Great.
And then we got a new LMB that's another component, and we attached them together. And I was up on the ladder for an hour or two, you know,
clean
figuring
signal,
that out.
Right?
Yeah. Beautiful signal. Everything is working fabulously, so much so, and I ordered that for our Fisher Station satellite link site, because every once in a while we might have a drop out there. And so hopefully that's going to come in the next day or two, and we'll get that updated. And so I think that'll take care of some of those dropouts. Some of you that were listening and then said, why'd it go silent for maybe 30 seconds or a minute or 4 minutes? I hope to have that all resolved, but we'll see. But yeah, that 5G is raising havoc with many radio stations throughout the country. So we're contacting the Moody Broadcasting Network and saying, what can be done? Is this happening to other stations?
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
The government promised that it wouldn't interfere. Well, it interferes. And
well, you know, we had to stop using several wireless mics at the little clip-ons and so
at church
because those particular frequencies have been sold to airports. And so they can't be used at churches or for public speaking anymore. So all that equipment is now just junk.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yep, the technology. So we got to be a step ahead of it.
That's
but
right.
That means purchasing
well, I'm glad
other
that's
things.
And
yeah, it was about $500 worth of purchases. Thank you for the Moody Broadcasting Network, Dave Woodworth up there, and then Howard Fox, who's our engineer that helps out. We did a great job. We were tag teaming. He was handing me wrenches and pliers and nuts.
Great.
You know, we got it all set
up
and working. So the four C's of effective writing, when I read this, I read it, and then I said, wow, Rob, this is really helpful.
Yeah, you either called me or sent me a message right away.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, Mark's commenting on my writing.
Yeah, so now it's available for everyone to read and see, but it got me thinking about the radio announcements I make or script out and ways of having all of us communicate better.
Yeah. Okay, so the four C's effective writing. Clarity. Effective writing starts with clarity. State the purpose of your writing at the beginning so the reader knows what to expect. Besides a clear beginning, follow a clear, easy-to-follow structure. Put things in their logical order and ensure continuity. Be sure your writing is at the appropriate level for your target audience and provide a clear summary by way of conclusion.
Now, have you heard that with speaking? Tell them what you're going to tell them.
Tell them what you told them.
Yeah.
And you know, that was really the way we taught in the Army, among other things. So, you know, you had a little pretest and preview, and then when you're all done, you went through and summarized everything.
Summarize, okay.
And that's not bad.
So, number one, clarity. So, there's clarity, conciseness, completeness, and correctness. So, we heard clarity, conciseness.
Conciseness. Keep your writing brief and to the point. Use as few words as possible, just as many as you need to make your point. Make your writing direct and dynamic with active voice.
This one brought some good conviction. Oh, I need help here. How to be concise. Brief, you know, brief is not a word I know. This was a good one for me.
Completeness. Whether you're writing a memo, an employee evaluation, or a factual article, give your reader all the necessary information to know what you expect, what you would like the person to do. Provide examples as appropriate, and don't leave out any essential information.
You know, I like this even with management, when you assign somebody some tasks or expectations,
job
or this is what you're going to do,
You
got to give them the necessary information, but then you got to tell them what the expectations are, or the timetable, or the timeline, or the framework, and then what you really expect them to do or want them to do. And I thought, wow, this is a really good one.
Yeah, in the 1950s, someone from the Pentagon said, you know, the Army's making a really bad impression from our bad writing, so we need to take care of that. Well, today, if you're a non-commissioned officer in the U.S. Army or an officer, even in the reserve and the guard, you have to take an effective writing course.
And number four, correctness.
Your writing should follow standard usage, good grammar, appropriate punctuation, correct spelling, and the best possible word choice. Wrong choices on your part confuse your reader and make a poor impression, leaving your writing less effective. Don't be lazy. Use the dictionary. Your writing should use verifiable facts and state them in an accurate, understandable way. And here's a quote from Blaise Pascal. I have made this longer than usual because I have not had time to make it shorter.
Jeez.
Yeah. So actually, I noticed when I was in publishing that the more experienced and better editors always had their nose in the dictionary, always had their nose in the manual style, and so on, and took the time to look things up.
Well, for those of you that are busy, or like I'm self-conscious about my spelling, thank you, God, for the technology.
Yes.
Like my phone, here's my phone. Spell serendipity.
Serendipity. S-E-R-E.
So there, I get it there. Or like, how do I spell rendezvous? I use this all the time.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's time-saving, and then I just
and
get
Microsoft
the word out.
Microsoft Word, of course, has spell checking, and so it kind of hollers at you with red lines or something else if you don't spell a word correctly.
Yeah, so there's a lot of tools and techniques. So maybe some of you that aren't familiar with the technology and are a little sheepish because you're self-conscious about certain things or the wording, or there are many ways to assist you and find out. I was showing a friend of mine how you can use the phone like that. And he goes, I never knew that. I said, oh, I use my phone all the time.
Sure.
Give me a Bible verse on charity. When did the Cubs last win the World
Isn't
Series? And it answers everything. Or where's
yeah.
the best place to get pizza? Or give me directions yeah. to such and such. And it's all right there.
Sure.
Now, this is
sure.
Apple, I think, 14 iPhone.
Yeah.
So it has some more bells and whistles. But I utilize the technology to God's glory. And
yeah.
it's one of the ways we can combat all the evil that's out there.
Sure.
Use technology
sure.
in helpful, positive ways. And like with effective writing, you might have some gifts or storytelling abilities, but you just don't know how to start. Well, get one of these voice recorders and
sure.
have it
sure.
dictate for you, and then fine tune it and check it and tweak it.
And you can actually talk to Microsoft Word and it'll type it out for you.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, there's a program now, or a part of Microsoft Word now, called Microsoft Editor. It's actually based on a program called Grammarly, and the head editor, toot my own horn, which I'm not supposed to do, Alex Morris, was one of my trainees years ago when I was in publishing. So a lot of my young editors are out there now changing the world mm-hmm. word by word. You know, you've been touched by an editor.
Yeah.
So.
And what gifts Rob brings to the Prime Life Times, he was an editor that trained editors. Even Jonathan Harrison, our office manager's son, who's
awesome
very,
editor. Yeah.
very, very gifted, and so many other people that you've worked with, Rob. And as we mentioned early in the program, Dave Fitch, he was a listener that learned about you editing books and such, and now I guess he's finalizing his book, and that'll
yeah,
be
that
in
book
print
should
pretty
come
soon.
Out soon. Yeah.
And we'll probably have you both on to talk about that. But the four C's of effective writing, but so much more than that. It could be your practices at work, your leadership styles. This is in the January edition of the Prime Life Times, still available at many locations, but the new edition, the February edition, is out, so be looking for those. And we appreciate you, Rob, and all your assistance and help and efforts to put this publication out
Thank
in
you.
Over 400 area locations. All right, listening friends, well, thanks for tuning in for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Rob Seidenberg with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.